This is a Beyond Casterbrews podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrews.com.
Coaxial.
Hi there, how are you doing? This is Coaxial. This is our third Coaxial with me, Christian Corley, and him, Gareth Cavanagh. How are you doing, Gareth?
Oh, very well, very well. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while, but we'll get on top of this. And
the telly continues.
The telly never stops, does it?
It doesn't. It's the eternal ocean. It washes in, it washes out. It's always there.
Well, it's funny you should say that it's always there. We are talking about old stuff again today, and perhaps more recent stuff. We're going to have a look at kids' TV, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because you know, it's there with you, unless you're someone who grew up without a TV, and there's not many people. Well, I would say probably 70% of people around these days grew up with a TV, I would say.
Well, you know, if this was Bruce's Play Your Cards Right and you'd just gone 70%, I'd be going a little bit higher.
Higher.
You know, it's surely got to be 90%. I mean, I do remember some of the sniffy posh kids who didn't watch TV because that was for commoners. You know, and, you know, we're back to that weird theory that some people have where they were BBC-only households, so they didn't watch common ITV.
It was a true thing.
I can't believe that, I'll be honest.
I know of two BBC households.
Really?
Yeah.
What did they do? Did they unscrew the ITV knob on the telly?
I just think they refused to have it on.
That filthy thing.
Yeah, like, one of the ones I know of, they didn't watch ITV until... my friend was at senior school. There was no ITV watched before he was at senior school. And we were, you know, it was like a peer thing watching ITV. And this is 1987. So I'm not talking like, we're not talking like 1970s here. We're talking like nearly the 1990s.
Oh, wow. I'd like to think they've gone off the rails now and completely binge watched trash permanently.
I don't think you'd be far from the truth there, mate.
Oh, dear. But yeah, kids' TV, it's there. It's funny. I was talking with my mother about this the other day because I grew up in hotels in North Wales. So my mum and dad were working all the time. So TV was my god.
Right.
I still love the TV, you know, which is a good job doing this podcast. But I remember my mother saying how she was really taken aback when a salesman came round the hotel. I must have been about two, and I was sat there on my own just watching the box. And this salesman was horrified and made my mother feel terrible. He goes, "Oh, a toddler watching television on his own. Now I've seen everything." You know, as if civilization was going to hell in a handbag because I was watching the box on my own. So, yeah. TV, glorious.
What were you watching? Do you remember?
Oh, well, it would have been anything really. Apparently, I was quite an odd child, which won't surprise you. And I didn't speak until I was nearly two, and then I just started speaking in normal phrases, which must have been almost like Damien Omen 2 for my kid, my mum. You know. And apparently, she remembers someone looking after me saying, pointing at a seagull going, "Look, Gareth, birdie." And apparently I went, "Yes, the seagull has an extraordinary wingspan of 1.2 metres or something." So God knows what I'd been watching on TV, you know. I must have just watched everything is the answer. Because like I say, my mum and dad, my memories of in the summer was that me and my brother were generally on our own, even though we were little, because my mum and dad were working. A little hotel in London, though, you have to do everything. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, afternoon tea, hot chocolate at night. So I must have watched everything, you know, the lot. So I bloody loved that telly. So the answer is, yeah, I watched everything.
Okay, well, that's a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start. But children's TV was particularly special for me. So, you know, you'd start at, I love the afternoon stuff, so we're talking Bod and Trumpton.
You couldn't beat
Trumpton. Trumpton was great. And it's funny, then they introduced that sort of class element. There was like Camberwick Green, which was it was a bit like Emmerdale, you know, it was sort of slightly posh but slightly carrot crunchy. And then there was Chigley, which was like where all the poor people lived and worked in the washing machine or widget factory. But it had like a toff with his own train, if you remember.
Yeah.
It was British society in microcosm. So I loved that. I love Bagpuss. I mean, everyone loves Bagpuss. It's a touch of class. Ivor the Engine, being from Wales, you know, I felt like that was one of our own.
Yeah.
Jones of Steam. It was, you know, that was. And actually, I had all my uncles and aunties all lived in Better Secoyd, which was like this little hick tourist town, 20 miles up the Conwy Valley. And Ivor the Engine was not a million miles away from how they lived.
Really?
You know, there was like the fussy little woman who ran the shop. She existed. There was like the sort of fussy busybody. She existed. They were like the no nonsense working class blokes who worked on the train. They definitely existed. You know, I mean, no one's house got burnt to the ground. But other than that, I think Ivor the Engine was a lot closer to reality. So that was me. What did you watch growing up in? Were you growing up in Yorkshire TV or Tyne Tees land?
Tyne Tees for the most part. Depending on whether it had been a windy day and it had swung the aerial round or not.
We were a little bit like that. And land did know we could get Granada perfectly.
Yeah.
So I loved Granada. So growing up with Granada, my news was full of people being stabbed and murdered in Moss Side and garrotted in Bootle and Highton. You know, it was like ultra violent. And then, as you say, every now and again, there'd be a freak weather and we could only get Harlech. And I remember thinking the news was far less exciting. It was like, you know, sheep rustling and, a new type of slate has been discovered and things like that. It was not quite the action-packed Northwest Manchester, Liverpool, grinding poverty and violent experience.
I can imagine. Well, this
is like psychotherapy. I'm learning a lot about myself through this.
My uncle lived near Whitby. My great uncle, I should say, lived just outside Whitby. Oh. It's called Sands End, in a little cottage on the edge of someone's land. And he was the, or someone's estate. And my uncle.
Like a crofter's cottage.
Yeah, my uncle was the groundsman.
Oh, wow.
And where they lived, they couldn't get Channel 4. I'm pretty sure that house still cannot get Channel 4 through an aerial.
Would not surprise me. Do you remember the thrill when Channel 4 launched? I mean.
I remember the thrill of Countdown. No one's ever described Countdown as a thrill, I don't think, unless they were watching Rachel Riley or Carol Vorderman. But
it was so exciting to discover a whole new channel.
Yeah.
I mean, we were lucky. By then, we had like a posh telly with a remote control. Mm. But I remember I knew people who still had the tallies with the three knobs, and they were buggered. Listeners may remember this, but tallies came with three knobs. You'd press it in. The one at the top for BBC One, then you'd press in the middle one for BBC Two, then you'd press in the one at the underneath for ITV, or if you were in a posh house, they'd sawn it off with a hacksaw. But yeah, so four buggered up a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, I think depending where you were, because you could retune, like where we are in the northeast, Channel 4 and BBC One are very close.
Mm.
So you could just do a tiny retune of your BBC One knob and you'd get Channel 4.
Oh, exciting.
Isn't it just?
It is. It really is.
But back to children's TV.
Yes.
Because I'm a little bit younger than you.
You are, yes.
And,
mere youth.
A mere youth, yeah. So although I remember Ivor the Engine, I don't remember the whole pantheon of the Chigley, Camberwick Green and Trumpton thing. I only really remember Trumpton. So I assume that's something to do with how they repeated them.
Probably. Oh, listen, I would imagine Tyne Tees is pure Chigley country. You know, the rest of them are just evil Tories. You know, we're not showing that Camberwick Green. That's full of evil Tories. Trumpton. It's an evil patriarchal society full of Tories. We're not showing that.
You say that, but. I'm pretty sure there was a few more Conservative MPs in this neck of the woods in the 1980s.
I suppose there probably was, wasn't there?
But, I was a massive... Do you know, I was a massive... I adored Rainbow. Absolutely adored Rainbow.
Do you know I'm exactly the same age as Rainbow? I'm exactly the same age as Rainbow. So, and
is that 1972, is it?
Yeah, Emmerdale Farm, 16th of October, 1972.
Yeah.
In fact, I was born at 4 o'clock on 16th of October, 1972. So I am probably, I've only lived in a world with no rainbow for 5 minutes. You know, and there's a comforting quality to that. But yeah, I love Rainbow. But have you ever seen the first series? It's terrifying.
I've not seen the series. I've seen the first or second episode. I watched it on YouTube. And
on YouTube, it's the wrong Bungle.
The Bungle looks like he's going to kill you, doesn't he?
Well, there's a few pals of mine here in Manchester that describe him as the War Bungle. And and I suspect they're not wrong. He doesn't look right, does he?
No, he doesn't, no.
Is it the same Jeffrey? It's the same Jeffrey, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And have his jovial chums, Rod, Jane and Freddie, turned up yet?
No, they haven't, no. There's a couple of things. There was Matthew Corbett, wasn't there? He was, like, in a proto-Rod, Jane and Freddie.
No.
Yeah,
Corbett was on Rainbow.
He was, yeah.
Oh.
Before, and there was the other guy, wasn't there, who was before Freddie, who was in El Dorado.
No.
Yeah.
Not Marcus.
The guy with the tash, the bald, the fattish.
Oh, the bald Scottish bloke with the tash.
Yeah, I can't remember. I only watched El Dorado about 3 times. But he was in Rod, Jane and Freddie before Freddie. So it was Rod, Jane and Roger. That's what they were called.
God, I'm not being funny. The double entendres would have been even worse. Oh, Roger.
It might have been called Roger, Rod and Jane, but Roger, Jane and Rod. No, it doesn't work either way, does it?
I've got a feeling I can't see Rod giving up his top billing. It's Rod, Jane and Roger. Roger, Jane and Rod? I'm not sure. But Freddie is much better. Freddie flows better.
Right, I've checked it. They were Rod, Jane and Roger.
Rod, Jane and Roger.
That's what they were initially. But before that, they were Rod. Were they Rod, Jane and Matthew? Hang on.
Oh, is this Corbett?
Yeah, no, they were Rod, Matt and Jane when it was Corbett. And he left in 1976.
Rod, Matt and Jane, well. Oh, well, I suppose, but is that when his old man died, yeah, so his father,
he retired, so he took over this.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
Walker was Bunny Charlson in El Dorado.
That's it, Bunny, who married that young lass who couldn't act.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Bunny. Oh, dear. Oh, he was quite good as Bunny, to be fair. She was dreadful. I can't remember her name. She looked terrific, but I remember reading the J&T book, the excellent J&T book, which is being reissued this Christmas, incidentally, with a new chapter, Unmissable. And Julia Smith and her casting guy, I mean, the chapter on El Dorado, which is basically where it all goes wrong for Verity, is fantastic. And it's Verity and the legendary Julia Smith, who just didn't get on and clashed. And Julia Smith came up with this brilliant idea of literally pulling people off the beach who looked right and going, do you want to be in El Dorado? You look great. And unfortunately, that's why we end up with people who can't act in the first couple of months. So, crackers. But where were we anyway? We were talking about Bunny, yes.
Yeah, Bunny. Rod, Jane,
and Bunny.
Yeah, Roger, Jane and Freddie. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you like about Rainbow then?
I like the little film inserts, which a lot of people forget about.
Oh, I like them with the little power saw noises and things like that.
Oh, that sort of stuff. Yeah. I just love Zippy and George.
Oh, yes, Jeffrey.
There's no finer. There might be some that are as good, but there's no finer puppet duo on television ever.
They're pretty good, aren't they? To be fair,
they're fantastic. I used to laugh. I used to insist on having home dinners. So I could go home from school and watch Rainbow all through primary school.
It was a thrill, and to be honest, they didn't overuse it, but the moment when they'd zip Zippy's mouth, it was like a treat. You were sort of waiting for it to happen, and it never happened. And then once in a while, he'd go, Jeffrey would go, right, well, children, I've had enough of this. Zip.
I think as well, from a therapeutic point of view, as you mentioned before, this may not surprise many listeners. I was quite a quiet child, and I was in the top set, and I went to quite a small school, and there was only, like, from that school of a class of six, from two classes of 60 people in total, classes of 30, only three of those were then in the top stream in our comprehensive school.
Ah, you were the chosen one.
So I fancy that my affection for Rainbow and Zippy in particular might have been the fact that I wouldn't feel naughty for laughing at the naughty kid as I would have done at school.
That is very nice. Do you think as a parent that ability to zip up Zippy was aimed at the parents of kids who were screaming and playing up and they were just like... Vroom.
Oh,
and that was a moment of catharsis for the
parents.
I should
think it probably was, yes.
Oh, I'd like to do that.
Most definitely.
But I can't.
It would prove useful. Oh, yeah.
So what else did you like that? It would. So what else did you enjoy?
Oh, there's so much.
We'll move up the age rankings.
There was so much great stuff, wasn't there? There was... I used to love Play School and Play Away. I'm not sure if I had a favourite. I absolutely adored the Mr. Men.
Oh, well, Mr. Men was terrific.
I'd happily put it on now and watch it and practice my...
Who's your favourite one?
Oh, Mr. Tickle, probably.
Tickle's very good. I'm very fond of Mr. Chatterbox, actually.
Oh, yeah, he's
And
good.
That cruel trick of giving him that hat that grew grew and grew if he carried on talking.
Well, they're full of things like that, aren't they, the Mr. Men? There's always like that magic element to sort of like teach them a lesson.
He's got a touch of the evil Roald Dahl about him, hasn't he, Roger Hargreaves?
Yeah, and there's these new Doctor Who ones coming out as well, isn't there?
Oh, yes, I don't know what they're going to do.
No, I'm not really sure either, because I can't really see the Doctor's been taught a lesson, so... And there's no War Doctor.
No, well, yes, odd that, isn't it? The War Doctor was sad. He was very sad. He was the saddest Doctor who had ever lived. See, the War Doctor had just killed his entire people, murdered 8 billion people, and winked an entire race out of existence. Genocide is bad, kids. Yes, I'm not quite sure how you do that. Doctor First. I mean, what's he going to do? You know, Dr. First has done a bad thing. He's stolen some teachers from London and can't get them home.
He's attacked a caveman with a stone.
Yes, he's just brained an overseer in a dig in Renaissance France. I do hope they thought this one through.
You know, yeah. We were I've been trying to get on the on the podcast with a K. I've been trying to get the guys to do an Earthshock commentary.
Oh, why not?
Well, I think
you'll call me Mom on the Bridge, for Christ's sake.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the exact reason why, because of Beryl Reed. Because there was a show when I was a kid with Beryl Reed in. Called...
Oh, Adrian Mole?
No. Mooncat.
I don't remember Mooncat. This must have been a time tease thing.
It may well have been. This was like a lunchtime show. It was definitely on ITV. And it was basically Beryl Reed with a puppet cat called, for some reason, called Mooncat, because it had come from the moon. Because, you know, the moon is... The cats live on the moon. Yeah. I don't really remember anything about it at all, other than that. But I know we watched it. So, yeah.
So Beryl Reed voiced Mooncat?
No. The Mooncat was a puppet, and she talked to it. She was like,
"No."
She was like, "It's Mr. Derry."
God. And this is Beryl from the killing of sister George.
Yeah.
Oh no. Beryl must have loathed every second of that. Oh, God. So come on. Why haven't you done an Earthshot? Commentary.
I think it's just to do with it's. I don't think there's a very interesting reason behind it. I think it's just because Brian's DVDs are all in the box.
Oh.
Having moved house. That's all I can think of. Hey, but listen, Kids TV.
Anyway, right. Yes, Kids TV. Yeah.
Two big.
We digress.
The two biggest stars of Kids TV for me.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, were probably Johnny Ball and Derek Griffiths.
Oh, great stars. Derek Griffiths, I liked his Heads and Tails.
Oh, yeah.
Can you still do the song? Heads and tails, heads and tails, heads and tails.
Oh, yes.
Heads and tails, heads and tails, heads and tails. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good. Yeah, Johnny Morris was that sort of...
Oh, Johnny Morris. Well, I said Johnny Ball, but yeah, Johnny...
Oh, not Johnny... No, Johnny Ball. Johnny Ball was the teacher you always wanted.
Yeah.
He would have been the perfect teacher for everything. Totally. Sort of... He knew how to stretch you. Well, like, think of a number. That's pretty tough stuff. You know, he knew how, but he was sort of comforting and soothing. So he was good. But do you know who my favourite is?
Who's that?
It's got to be Tony Hart.
Oh, yeah.
The master. You know, people talk about Da Vinci and Caravaggio and Van Gogh. No, they're all wrong. The greatest artist of our age is Tony Hart.
Okay. You set yourself quite a task there.
You know, I would do anything to have an original Hart hanging on my wall. But you watch, there's a whole edition on the U of Tube, and
right.
I would strongly recommend embedding that in the show notes so people can see just how good an artist he was. And then we had the gallery, our chance to show our. I sent in several pictures that were never displayed.
Yeah, me too.
And I still haven't got over it. Masterpiece, Tortoise in Field, you know, probably went straight into the pulper. But I watched every single gallery for months waiting for Tortoise in Field to be shown, you know. And here we have Tortoise in Field from Gareth, age 6. I particularly like the use of colour and shading. The tortoise with a little smile.
You make him sound
sun.
Like, he sounds like Camp Freddy. Chilling into Harrison Chase.
I have capped him up and touched him with a big cigarillo holder. You know, and let's be honest, there's only one theme tune for the gallery, and it's Cavatine. I made him into an evil Bond villain. Oh, it's another one from that child, Cavanna. For Christ's sake, throw it in the bin. What's he drawn this time? Seagull in sky? Rubbish. Yes. Poor Tony.
Yes.
I assaulted him with some of my finest art over the years, and he never had the good taste to show it. He only had to show one, and I'd have stopped sending them in. Oh, no. But no, it has to be Cavatina. You can forget the old Plinky Plonky one. It's the Cavatina theme tune. Yeah. That's the gallery.
You know, there's something else about the Tony Hart shows that people forget. There's the women. He always managed to surround himself with rather attractive artistic women. Does.
I've watched a few where Tony's put his best pulling cravat on. and yeah, he's really trying to he's trying damn hard to take these ladies out for a Cinzano and lemonade after the show's finished. Yeah. I like to think he pulled the odd arty lady there. So there's the women.
There's also,
and what else is there?
The comic legend. Well, I'm going to skip over Morph because we know all about Morph and Hardman, but there's the comic legend that is Mr. Bennett.
Oh, Mr. Bennett. Yes, poor Mr. Bennett. He was like the caretaker of the building, wasn't he? And I liked the way they gave that a sort of semi-scripted drama quality. It was a bit like Why Don't You went a bit like that.
Now, I've just looked up Mr. Bennett.
Is he still with us?
I believe he is still with us. Colin Bennett, RADA-trained actor.
No.
He was...
He went through all that time at RADA. He's probably played the Dane at least once, and he's only remembered as the comic sidekick on Take Heart.
Well,
oh,
he's in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, is he? Who does he play?
Zarquan.
Oh, the Great Prophet Zarquan.
Yeah.
He's in it for at least 20 seconds.
Yeah. And he was also, there was a show he did after he left Heartbeat, which was this absolutely, I say awful. That's unfair because it wasn't really awful, but it was at the same time awful. Because it wasn't really aimed at my age group. And this was called You Should...
Come off the fence, it's awful.
Yeah, called You Should Be So Lucky, in which he...
I don't remember that.
This was like a kids' TV show. Wikipedia has it listed as 86, 87. There's 12 25-minute episodes. He played Vince Purity, the game show host. It's kind of a kids' game show.
Okay.
But the kids looked as if they'd brought straight out of Sylvia Young, basically.
Oh, I see. Right.
They were very stagey, which is why I didn't like it.
It was a bit like that. ITV would drag him straight off the council estates.
Exactly.
BBC.
Yeah.
Liked him out of the liked him out of stage school.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Mr. Bennett. What else has he been in?
That appears to be it. He doesn't really seem to have done much more than that, sadly.
Do you know who captured this brilliantly? And it is once more on the U of Tube. David Walliams and Matt Lucas in their series of sketches that they did for the Comedy Channel.
Right.
Did a Tony Hart and Mr. Bennett.
Did they?
They did. It's wonderful.
Oh, we'll have to look
at that. It's the most loving homage I've ever seen. You know, down to Walliams plays Mr. Bennett, and of course he keeps coming in with his foot stuck in a mop bucket and things like that. It's a loving homage.
Tony Hart, take Hart's various shows that he did. Heartbeat, Heart of a Number.
Yeah.
I don't think that's one, is it? Think of a Heart? No. But look,
The rather tasteless heart attack, or art attack, as I remember it.
Yeah, Neil Buchanan, who for years, having never met a Scottish person, apart from my aunt, I thought was pronounced Butchanan.
Oh, Butchanan. oh, dear. now, there were a few unfortunate name people. You know, one's heart always went out to poor old Christopher Lillycrap.
Oh.
Who must have worked so hard to have a career with that name. And we looked him up on something else a while back, I think, and I think he has actually changed his name.
I think he's still going, isn't he? Isn't he an author now?
Books under a pseudonym, yeah.
Yeah. I think writing friend Dean Wilkinson is acquainted with Mr. Lillycrap. He was very funny, yeah. Christopher Lillycrap. He had a good turn in dry one-liners, I seem to recall.
Yeah, what was it? He was. I remember him as more of a sort of song and dance bloke.
Yeah, he'd do songs.
Like a sort of children's version of Wayne Sleep, in a way.
That's not how I would have described him, but fair enough.
I haven't seen any of his work for some time, it must be said.
I mean, he was one of those people that turn up on Rainbow and read a story, wasn't he?
This is true. He was your guest artist. He certainly was on Playaway, if I remember.
Was he on Playaway?
Or am I misremembering that?
I don't know. I know Tony, there's that legendary episode of Playaway, isn't there, with sort of, you could go OTT with it, and you could say that it's like every Bond villain ever or whatever. But there's a time when like the Playaway troupe was like Tony Robinson and Jeremy Irons.
God, yeah.
And other well-known people.
Oh, God, can you imagine the green room on that? So what are we doing today? Well, I've got to, darling, you know, having trained at RADA for 1,000 years, I appear to be treating little Ted to an afternoon tea with his good friend Humpty. I'm struggling for my motivation in this scene.
Yeah, you've got Anita Dobson, you've got Julie Covington as well, who can't have been far away from stardom at that point if she wasn't already famous. Yeah,
Well, I mean, I remember in that wonderful Tales from Television Centre, Johnny Bull, you know, confirming what we all suspected, that they were all completely stoned in several of those sequences.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Had to be.
I suppose you had to do to get through some of those days. Yeah, it's a funny side to kids' TV, that. That's the really sort of pre-schooly stuff. Now, do you remember the school's TV stuff that you used to watch as a special treat? You know, the little countdown things.
There was a lot of them. I always used to find, though, that the BBC stuff wasn't as good as the ITV stuff.
Oh,
I found the ITV stuff was a lot more informative, because you had How We Used to Live on ITV.
Yeah, that was good.
History show. You'd have Picture Box with that spooky music.
Oh, do you know, Picture Box was I'm glad you got Picture Box in time, teens. Do 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 do.
Yeah,
brilliant, with the great Alan Rothwell doing the
voice.
And
Chris Tarrant. Remember that Chris Tarrant show, Stop, Look and Listen?
I don't remember that.
The little, I remember like 7 minutes.
I remember one that had a crow in it. there was one that where a crow lived with a squirrel. Was that Look and Learn?
Oh, it may have been.
Yeah. That was Look and Learn. Yeah, so that school stuff was really good. And actually, you might, you know, and quite a lot of the time they did a shutdown in the afternoon. I think BBC used to shut down in the afternoon. BBC Two.
BBC Two.
And
yeah,
bits of ITV might have done as well. Although I remember, did I tell you about Steve Gallagher when he worked at Granada and he was the assistant deputy controller of programming, which meant that there was three of them in an office and they had to tee up all the programs and then tee in Charles Foster to do the commentary.
Right.
You know, oh, next up it's Rainbow or whatever. And he said their day would generally start with them going down the, they'd tee everything up, get the lists, get the tapes. Then they'd go down the Postal Workers Union bar and have 5 or 6 pints and a few large wines. And then his two bosses would go to sleep in the office and he'd run it. Steve as number three. He said, and one day they had too much and they all fell asleep and they put the wrong film on. And they put a French language film on by mistake. No one noticed. And and Charles Foster, of course, had just done the commentary in between. You know, he went, apparently he went, I hope you enjoyed that unscheduled cultural treat, which was different to the listings magazine. Next up, Rainbow, you know. Oh, the chaos of this telly. But good work was done. Now, of course, where BBC, I think, did score, and it's incredibly funny that the highfalutin BBC goes for the low rent option and wins, was with the cartoons.
Oh, right.
You know, they had Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
They had Godzilla. They had all of the great cartoons. Worked, strangely enough, on supposedly highbrow BBC. I don't remember ITV really having many cartoons. Oh, I could be wrong there.
No, I don't think it was until the advent of TVAM that ITV started showing, like, imported cartoons. They had their own cartoons and stuff, didn't they? And stop motion, like Cholton and the Wheelies.
They didn't do cartoons, though, did they?
But no, I don't think they did cartoons, no.
Yeah, I remember the Pac-Land cartoons.
Oh, I'll tell you what. No, there was Jason and his Magic Torch, wasn't there? But I think...
Yeah, but again, that was like a kiddies show that had... They didn't do
British.
Import...
But that, yeah,
but they didn't
no
do import cartoons.
No.
They didn't do Tarzan. Do you remember Tarzan or the Three Sentinels or... you know, any of the, you know, BBC went straight for the low rent option. And my absolute favourite, of course, as we knew it, Battle of the Planets.
Battle of the Planets, yeah. I think my favourite's a toss up between Battle of the Planets and Ulysses.
Oh, now Ulysses rocks. It still holds up today. I still occasionally watch some of them and they're brilliant.
Yeah.
It's that music.
Yeah.
It's that brilliant music, which is a sort of, the whole thing is a great mashup. Ulysses, of course, is a mashup between a sort of, it's got a French cultural beating heart all wrapped up in a Japanese fantastic proto-manga style look.
Yeah.
And even the music is like a cross between Isaac Hayes' Shaft and a chamber orchestra. It's wonderful stuff.
And the other thing I always loved about Ulysses was the way they got away with him having a lightsaber built into a gun.
Yes. Well, yeah, well, that's fair.
And it just works perfectly, doesn't it? It doesn't look like a rip-off of Star Wars at all. So I think,
no.
Why did no one else think of that?
Well, I don't know about you, but everything I know about Greek legend has come from Ulysses.
Oh, yeah, same here, yeah.
You know, old Sisyphus and the rock, up and down,
I am being slightly unfair. Everything I know about Greek legends comes from Ulysses and playing Civilization.
Oh, well, see, you had a classical education. It's Ulysses and occasionally a little bit of Doctor Who, but mostly Ulysses. It's terrific. The soundtrack's wonderful. I quite often listen to that on YouTube, but it's just everything about Ulysses just reeks of quality. And those swinish gods of Olympus.
Yeah.
Great ending as well. Do you remember the ending where he gets home?
Yeah.
I feel we can share this spoiler. 30 years on now, surely.
Go on then.
Do you remember it?
Vaguely.
Where they finally get to the kingdom of Hades. And it's really creepy because it's populated by the dead.
Yeah.
And they can only move backwards.
Oh.
And they all keep crowding in on you. And if they touch you, you're dead.
Right.
So it's like that childhood game of Tig. So it's that plus There's Orpheus in there who's gone there to rescue his wife. So it's Orpheus in the underworld. And there's a wonderful, bleak, Sartre-esque moment where he sees her on this conveyor belt going up into heaven. And he runs after her. And Ulysses saying, no, don't go. Don't go. You'll die. And he goes, I can't. I must save my whatever her name is, Ariadne. And he goes up into oblivion in this this escalator to heaven, which is as good as anything I've ever seen in an art house movie. And that's in Ulysses. What happens is he gets to the end, and of course the gods are pretty swinish with him, and they say, right, tell you what, you and your kids can go home, but I want all of your companions, because of course anyone who hasn't seen it, all of the ship's crew, his companions, are in suspended animation.
Yeah.
He says, I'm after them for the kingdom of Hades, but you and the kids can go home. And of course Ulysses, being a decent stick, goes, no, I'm not having that. I'm just not having that. So you'll have to take me instead. So he sacrifices himself, Doctor Who style. And then the gods go, actually, do you know what? That's just a bit tight. We'll let you all off.
Right.
And they all go home.
Yeah. I remember the imagery that you described of the elevator thing, the conveyor belt. Oh, and I remember that. But it's a long time since I've seen the final episode.
Oh, spoil yourself. It's all on the U of Tube.
All on the U of Tube. I will take a look. Listen, yes. There was a load of stuff on kids' TV that was less cartoony, less frivolous, and we haven't mentioned Blue Peter, but that probably deserves its own comic show.
Are we talking about Grange Hill here?
Well, I'm
gritty,
going
dark Grange Hill.
Heading towards drama, yeah.
Yeah. It's BBC stuff, kind of. I thought it sort of devolved into two. There was like the sort of slightly twee Phoenix in the Carpet, sort of, you know, gosh, Wizard Chips, dash, decent stick kids.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a sort of bygone era.
Box of Delights would fall into that category as well.
He would, but it's got Troutman in it, so we forgive it anyway.
Yeah.
You know. So it's either that or it's Johnny Briggs and Grange Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Grange Hill in particular is grim and dark, and I watched a few of the early ones quite recently, and my God, they don't pull any punches.
Well, do you know what it reminds me of, right? There's an episode of The Professionals from about 1979, 1980, that...
Oh, Grange Hill isn't far off, are
it? It's not. You're absolutely right. It's not. You know, it's the same part of the world. It's, you know, it's London.
Yeah.
This episode is based around a school. There's a lot of school scenes in it, and school kids. And there's like really grim stuff going on. There's like these kids find a gun. The characters could have come straight out of early, like pre-1987 Grange Hill.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough place. Grange Hill, grim, 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 terrifying, and so honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Gripper. Kids like Gripper existed.
Oh, yeah.
Evil, nasty, mean kids, you know, who just existed to exert their will on others and give you a good hiding and pinch all your money.
Yeah.
They were real, you know.
Yeah.
And the teachers felt pretty real, you know. Sort of, they were either sort of hard as nails, like Bullet Baxter, do you remember?
Oh,
the
yeah.
old, yeah, Bull PE teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the arty ones who were a little bit in denial about how evil all the kids were. And then there were the ones who were just barely coping and were just sort of, you could imagine them just getting through the day, going home, having a bottle of gin and going to bed.
Yeah, we had a few like that.
Yeah, we did. And you forget how evil kids could be, you know?
Oh, yeah.
How really evil. I don't know what it's like nowadays. I'd imagine it's probably, well, in some ways it's probably better. In that I think schools are a bit more switched on and anti-bullying is a big thing. So that's good. You're probably, but then you've got kids being bullied on social media, which clearly didn't exist. I mean, thing with school is once you made it home, you were safe.
Yeah.
You know, now I think you're not safe.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But no, I remember that. Who was your favourite in Grange Hill?
Oh, crazy.
Everyone's got a favourite.
So many to choose from. I suppose there was kind of a time when I was quite impressed with Gonch Gardner, with his money-making schemes.
Gonch, yeah, who was a, he was a proto-Thatcherite, wasn't he?
He was indeed, wasn't he, Charles James?
He'd have privatised everything on the sly. Apparently, I saw it on Popbitch a couple of years ago. He's now he's a pit boss in a casino in London, which feels about right.
Doesn't it, Charles?
Yeah. Yeah, I quite like Gonch. I like Ziggy Greaves.
Ziggy Greaves,
Token Scouser. Oh, Ziggy Greaves. Yes. And that whole, do you remember the whole plot line with Harriet, the donkey that gave George A. Cooper's caretaker something nice to do?
Oh,
that
yes.
was like his warm and humanising stuff. That was quite good.
He was good. Of course, you had Michael Sheard's Mr. Bronson.
Later. Oh, Bronson was a boy. And that fantastic toupee.
Yeah. Did you have a teacher like Bronson at your school?
Oh yeah. The classical ones who felt they were slumming it.
Yeah, we had at least two.
Yeah, who really felt that, you know, it's like, you know, you could almost sense it was like, you know, what we were saying about people who'd gone to RADA ending up working on Playaway, and it was like, you know, you could see these people have got, you know, I've got a double first in classics from Oxford, and I'm teaching you cretins.
Yes, in an inner city comp. Yeah,
in an inner city comp. Well, because Bronson ends up there because. The posh school, is it Riverdale?
Yeah.
Ends up merging. With Rough and Ready Grange Hill, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
I admired the calm authority of Mrs. McCluskey,
mm.
who was everything you always wanted in a teacher, firm but fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I quite like him. Zamo, of course, is terrific.
Yeah.
And so dark, that descent into heroin addiction.
Yeah.
And so well done. Because you see, I watched them again because being an arcade machine guru, I quite like Roland's arcade. And because if you remember, Zamo would go into Roland's arcade to buy a smack.
Yeah.
And he'd go in the back room. You know, oh, can I go in the back room, Roly? Do we just want to ever chat? Oh, that'll be all right, Zamo. <You know? laughs> And then, of course, he goes in and finds Zamo absolutely whacked out.
Yeah.
And if you remember, it's like that zoom in on the tinfoil, a zoom in on Zamo, completely out of it. Brilliant. As good a drama as you would ever get anywhere nowadays. In fact, I don't think they would do it now.
Oh, they definitely wouldn't do it now. Remember that final scene when his addiction was uncovered and he's like scrabbling around on the toilet floor?
Point. Oh, this is where he sneaked out of his GCSE exams,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And he's scrambling around on the toilet floor,
yeah.
picking it all up and putting it in his mouth. That's just debasing that, isn't it? That's just very, very cleverly written. Very.
Well, and
it just shows
all that
what it
stuff,
is.
All that stuff at that era when Grange Hill is in its second flowering, you know, because it's had a really good early flowering under Phil Redman. It's its second flowering. It's no coincidence it's overseen at that point by the great Anthony Minghella, who is the script editor.
Right.
And that is Oscar-winning English patient Anthony Minghella.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's really the common theme that we're, you know, that there were some monstrous talents overseeing these shows. And they were taken very seriously. Although, you know, we joke about Jeremy Irons aside, and I'm sure he doesn't consider Play School to be amongst his finest work ever, darling. But these guys took it seriously, and there is a measure of the quality of the stuff done in that era that great names were attached to it in early parts of their career.
There's a few other good dramas that are worth mentioning. There's The Demon Headmaster, which I believe is coming to DVD.
After my time,
well, it was after mine as well. Well, was it? Or it coincided with towards the end of mine, but I certainly watched it because it was very good. Certainly the first series. Children's Ward.
Yeah, Children's Ward. Again, monstrous names start on Russell T. Davis, Sally Wainwright, Paul Abbott, you know, and then or the acting talent. You know, some of the people in that went on to Coronation Street. It's an important show. And of course, Russell T. Davis himself starts on children's TV. He starts on, you know, a thankless task on Why Don't You? And indeed appears as himself on an early Play School, doesn't he? As a sketch artist.
Oh, does he?
You must have seen that clip.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. It's like a mulleted Russell from the mid 80s turns up on Play School to do a sketch the one and only time he goes in front of camera, and he hated it so much, he said, I'm never doing that again. But if you search Russell T Davies Play School on the U of Tube, I'm sure it's there.
I'm sure it will be there, yeah.
They showed it on This Morning when Russell was on there to promote Doctor Who. Mm. He didn't look very happy. He sprung on him. But yeah, but then there's, what the others? Then he does Century Falls, yeah, and what's the other? Dark Season.
Yeah.
And again, they were after my time, because I'd have been in university or working then, I guess. But again, very well thought of. Doesn't Jacqueline Pierce play some mad lesbian outer space villain, which, of course, is completely casting against type, let's be frank.
I haven't seen either of them, really, to be honest with you. There was a lot of good stuff that would be on a Wednesday, and I think these are one of them. These were one of those ones. There was like at one point, there was like a two-year run of absolutely superb Wednesday afternoon serials.
That makes sense. That's their quality tentpole, middle of the week.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Dark Season and the Century Falls came in among those lot, but there's a lot of good stuff on it in those slots, like the Demon Headmaster. That was another one. Over on the other side, of course, you had Chocky and Press Gang.
Oh, Chocky. Yeah, Chocky was good. I used to watch Chocky. My brother loved Chocky because my brother's a couple of years younger than me.
I was scared of it, so I didn't watch it.
It was good stuff. Were you two, talking about the other side, and they did good drama, were you too old for Stig of the Dump? Or too young for Stig
of
the Dump?
Too young, yeah. I've read the book, but I've never
good
seen
it. Good quality television. Stig of the Dump. Yeah, very good quality. And I tell you what ITV did, which no one remembers, really. Do you remember Dramarama?
Yes.
Now, Dramarama was very high quality stuff. Extremely scary. I have an abiding memory of one of them as a child, where at the end, the villain turns into a tree and you can see his face screaming in the bark.
It was basically Tales of the Unexpected for kids, wasn't it?
It was Tales of the Unexpected for kids. Dramarama is very important and quite forgotten, and really quite largely forgotten. And the other one, which has slipped from the memory but was essential viewing at the time, and if you watch it, they're very dark, was Marmalade Atkins.
Oh, Charlotte Coleman. Now,
Charlotte Coleman, Marmalade Atkins. So she was, they did about three or four. And the one set in a school is basically a sort of dystopian Mad Max version of Grange Hill. I would strongly urge that being, they were big shows because you had the tie-in books and all written by the great Andrew Davis.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So we're back to, again, another colossal talent.
Mm, yeah.
Starting out, making his mark in kids' TV. Yeah, that was very good. It's forgotten, as you say, the other side, what they did and how good it was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And just something else that sprung to mind as well was there was a lot of classical adaptations that the BBC did. ITV used to go in a slightly different direction. They wouldn't kind of go with classical adaptations, but they'd go with popular adaptations like...
Sing the Dump and things like
that. Yeah, stuff like that. Mr. Majica.
BBC, Mr. Majica, yeah.
Yeah, with old Stanley Baxter. Yeah, BBC would go the other direction. Yeah. They'd go with the classical stuff. So, like, there's a few things that they've done more than once. They've done, like, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, haven't they? And they did The Secret Garden in 1975. So
they were very well thought of, those, yeah. Actually.
Well, I've seen The Secret Garden. It was on about 20 years ago.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
A bit more. And I watched that. I thought it was fantastic. Probably about 25
years. I missed
years.
The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, but I know it's very well thought of, that.
Yeah, it is. My sister loved it. My sister loved it so much, my mum and dad got it on VHS when it came out.
I was like the cheapo cartoon, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, they used to show on ITV at Christmas. That was more my cup of tea, if I'm being honest.
But, well, you know, talking about Christmas and holidays and stuff, there was like, because TV would change, wouldn't it? Kids' TV, yeah. You'd have like the holiday TV. And you'd have, like, about 2 hours until 11 o'clock, and then they'd put a movie on.
Yeah, Digby the Biggest Dog in the World ran every year for about 1,000 years.
I'd forgotten
about
it.
But we all loved it, let's be honest.
Yeah. Did your school have a projector?
No. We had a battered old TV.
Right.
We had a battered old TV in the TV room. It was an old valve set, which the only people who had a valve set were my nan, and our school. And the thing with a valve set is you had to turn them on and then they had to warm up.
Warm up, yeah.
And then it was suddenly you'd hear a whistle, like a... And then it would, after about 3 minutes, this is, So no good if you wanted to watch something that was about to start. You know, you had to plan your viewing in those days. So that's where the listing magazines were very important. And then it would suddenly expand to fill the screen. And then when you turned it off, it would shrink.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we had a crap old TV thing.
And that's the sound effect that we use at the end of Coaxial, is a valve set getting switched off.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, we in our school, we had this, this is my primary school, had a projector. So there was...
Oh, you bloody hell. What, with 16mm film?
Yeah. So we'd be watching, like,
special
Disney movies and stuff like that that they either owned or hired. So we'd get, like, Pete's Dragon or Condor Man or something like that. There was
oh, I love Condor Man.
From the last
Condor
10 years. Man. Yeah. But at home, you know what, you'd have...
Oh, what a treat. No, we never got that.
You'd have the Children's Film Foundation movies, wouldn't you? They'd be on during the summer holidays.
Oh, love the Glitter Ball.
The Glitter Ball. Fantastic. The Glitter Ball.
Great.
Sammy Super T-shirt.
I don't remember that one. I do remember the Patrick Trout one, where he's basically playing Doctor Who yet again.
Ah, yeah.
A slip in time or glitch in time or something.
Yeah. Well, Sammy's Super T-shirt, he's a kid whose T-shirt gets treated with special powers that some scientists are working on.
Yeah.
And then he becomes really good at sports.
Basically. Well, it seems no more outlandish than what Marvel seemed to do, which is everything seems to involve a chemical spill.
Yeah.
Look out, child, there's a chemical spill coming. Oh, feels strange. Strange powers. You know, so Super T-shirt actually feels more creative and plausible, actually.
Now, I wonder, are you familiar with modern children's television?
No. No. Having no Rugrats myself, it's not something I watch, actually. So it's all a little bit of a mystery to me. I kind of dibbed out. I remember the Teletubbies was briefly fashionable amongst students with hangovers or who were, in fact, completely stoned.
Yeah.
And I remember watching a couple of Teletubbies in similar states of intoxication and thinking it still isn't as good as the Wombles when you're trashed.
Yeah.
So no, I am aware that there is kids TV and I hear good things about Grandpa in my pocket. And, but I know I haven't seen any. What do you like?
Well, there's a lot of good, I think informative shows are better now. Like on the CBeebies channel in particular, which is what I can only base this on, which is kind of up to sort of 6 or 7, I think.
So for the little ones.
Yeah. You have, used to have Nina and the Neurons, which is a Scottish production, and it's got science and education, just STEM topics. There's also another one called Do You Know? Hang on a moment, I'm being interrupted. All right, mate.
I know you're busy, mate, but just 1 minute. The mouse you give me, put it all on. All comes up. Everything comes up. Put a film on. No server. What's that?
No server?
Yeah.
You'd say it's not connected to the internet.
It's not connected to the internet.
Yeah. It says no server.
Yeah, so it says no server.
Have you tried a different film?
Yeah, loads.
Oh.
And it just says no server.
That'll be something to do with the update, I think.
Is it that little white box? The thing plugged in the back of that, isn't that?
Yeah.
Right, because there's about 5 different holes in it, isn't there?
Yeah, but they should all be active. But yeah, try the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, but it says no service, so right. I'll have a go at the other one. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
No bother, mate. Sorry, where were we?
Oh, no, I love that. You've got to keep that in. You see, what the listeners won't realise is that bloke was just pitching his sort of, you know, how to reboot your router to the kids, you know. And I think Rainbow would be doing, you know, now then, children, let's look at the router. Have you turned it on and off? Oh, yes, Jeffrey. Doesn't bloody work. Right. Let's ping it, children. Do you know what a ping is?
You're absolutely right. Of course they would. They'd have to, wouldn't they?
That sounds rude, Jeffrey. No, a ping is a very important thing. Oh, there you go. You see, we could do this. We could do this.
So, I'm completely thrown. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what I was talking about beforehand.
No, it's a moment that's been lost. We were talking about modern shows.
Ah, modern shows, yeah. So there's an evening in the new ones. Yeah, there's another one called Do You Know. Now, Do You Know is quite an important one.
Yeah.
Because it's hosted by a YouTube star.
Oh. It's not one of those. Sounds terrible.
Yeah, I know it does, but it's not one of those.
You know, occasionally when I've got a soundtrack on YouTube and I'm working and, you know, you have to put up with the adverts, the most irritating ones are from Google telling me that some really zany, wacky American kid with some YouTube or bloody whatever it is, Facebook likes or Twitter following of 8 billion jumps up and is really wacky and zany for half a minute, and I just want to throw my machine through the window.
Yeah.
So I suspect we're on a sticky wicket with this
one. She's not one of those. She's not one of those.
You know the ones I mean.
I know the ones you mean. Yeah. This is a young lady called Maddie Moat, who basically what she does, she takes a GoPro cam.
All right. Okay.
And uses it to give you like close-ups on how things work. But she's got a very nice, bubbly personality, and the BBC. She's got her own YouTube channel, as I mentioned. She does a bit of wildlife.
The American bloke whose name escapes me is the most irritating man in the world.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine how he managed to get like 4 million followers.
No.
But anyway, she's not him. So
she's not him, no. And so the BBC has spotted her, and they've given her her own show, and it's a really good show.
Does she know how to reboot a router, though?
I think she probably does. Yeah, she's a clever girl. She was showing the children the other day how pianos work.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah, it's all good stuff, yeah.
I
think the drama's quite good for the youngsters. There's a lot. There's a Katie Morag. It's all a very different kind of standard these days to what you'd get in the past. You know,
You mean there's no bored thesps from RADA looking like they want to kill their agents?
Well, you say that, but there is a few that turn up, actually. I mean, there's, you get famous people reading a story in the sort of Jack and Ori sort of a way.
Oh, everyone loves that, yeah.
That's every night. You have one or two famous, you know, we have Bolam in Grandpa in My Pocket, but I think that's just his retirement.
Yeah, that's kept him going, isn't it?
Yeah. You have nice little shows like Katie Morag, which is Scottish. But there's nothing that's like, you don't have a Johnny Ball, really, these days, I don't think. You don't really have a heartbeat, but you do have Mr. Maker, which is kind of in the same neck of the woods, but that's an actor. That's not a Tony Hart, you know.
He's
that's
not
an
a
actor.
Proper artist like You're Art.
Not an artist, no.
Art. Yeah.
It's all very different these days. And, of course, it's split into two channels. You've got CBeebies and you've got CBBC. CBBC is very...
Okay, so what's on CBBC then?
It's pitched older.
They've got no budget.
No, I think they have a budget. There's a popular children's TV show whose name escapes me about a girl who lives in a care home or has been in a care home. She's fucking whatever.
It's Tracy Beaker, isn't
Tracy
it?
Tracy Beaker. That's on CBBC.
Yeah, that seems to be a big deal.
Beyond that, I have no idea what's on CBBC. It's
large... a treat to come for you.
It seems to be, from what I've seen from my nieces, it seems to be imported stuff and international co-productions, like grown-up stuff, really. Shows set in haunted schools and things like that.
Oh, they like a bit of haunted schools, don't they?
They do these days, kids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I tell you, I did catch one, Channel Surfing, a while back, which I thought was quite funny, was My Parents Are Aliens.
Right, is that still going?
I don't know. I wasn't aware it was a new or old thing, but it looked quite good.
Right.
That raised a couple of titters. I think it's great. I mean, I suppose the thing is that everyone thinks their generation has the best TV.
Yeah.
And as long as that's continuing, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, we should be grateful that we've still got BBC and ITV producing children's TV, even though they don't have them on the main channels.
It's something that Russell T. Davies is very passionate about, actually.
Yeah.
He considers children's drama to be, you know, because he said, this is the thing that's being axed. He said ITV have more or less completely axed it because they don't have to do it, so they're not doing it. And he said, and BBC would dearly love to get rid of it, in his opinion, but don't. So what they are doing, in his opinion, this is what he said a few years ago at a talk, is deliberately under-resourcing it, so eventually it just dies a natural death. Because at some point someone will say, oh, well, what's the point of kids' TV? They can all watch it on YouTube or whatever is going to come next.
Mm.
And I think that's a shame.
I think it is a shame. I don't think there's a lot of evidence to say that they are under-supporting it. There's two channels of it for a start off. So I think if they're under-supporting it, they'd maybe merge the two channels. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think
the important... I think what he was probably saying is don't take it for granted.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Don't
yeah.
assume it'll always be there.
Yeah.
Fight, use it, appreciate it, fight for it, demand it to be good. Because it's important. Because we're back to, you know, we're back to two-year-old Gareth watching the box on his own, worshipping the telly. And I'd imagine for a lot of kids, yeah, and knowing all about seagulls, you know. And I'd imagine for a lot of kids, so that's the reality now with working parents and pressure for time, that TV is even more important now for kids.
Yeah.
So let's make it good.
Let's make it good. Now, speaking of Russell T Davies, aren't you... Are you meeting him sometime?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We have a special COAX exclusive here, which I'm jumping the gun on a bit, but why not? I'm organising it. This December, I have been working with my good colleagues at the BFI, my good colleagues at home, and some lovely supportive people at ITV to do a series of screenings with special guests on... 60 years of Granada. So Granada TV, which of course doesn't really exist now because it's one ITV. It isn't the old regional franchises, but ITV Granada is still remembered as one of the best and most innovative and creative of all the franchises. So we're commemorating 60 years. Now, one event that we're doing is on Granada's children's TV output, which included things like Hector's House, the Great Clapperboard, which was some amazing behind-the-scenes stuff on film and TV. Great stuff in the archive. We just mentioned it before, the one with the creepy music, Picture Box.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, and most of the session is going to be all about Children's Ward and how important a show that was. And I'm delighted to say that Russell T Davies is coming to talk about it.
Wow.
Because he thinks that show is so important, and it is an important show. A lot of serious writers start out there, and this was one of Russell's earliest jobs. He was script editor on Children's Ward and did some work that he's very proud of. So put it in your diary, home at Manchester, 3rd of December, Saturday, 3rd of December, 1 o'clock, kids-friendly stuff, but it's going to be full of adults. Remembering the great stuff, I think. So that's one of several sessions. And the other two sessions are yet to be announced, but that one is definitely going ahead on that day at that time.
Excellent. Put that in your diaries, ladies and gentlemen. That's all for this episode of Coaxial. If you have any memories of your favourite TV shows from your childhood, please share them in the comments or tweet us or leave a message on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm conscious we could have done 5 hours worth of stuff.
Absolutely,
there's so many shows we just haven't talked about. So share your memories with us. It's our heritage. I love it. And you can take my TV from my cold, dead fingers. I'm not giving it up.
Until next time.